This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast entitled Future Work Practices, How to Maximize Online Collaboration and Virtual Working. I'm your moderator today, Hadia Tubatavaklis, and I'm a Process Innovation Senior Specialist at Sherman & Sterling. I'm thrilled to be joined by our speakers, Kristen Rhodes, who's a Senior Practice Manager at Paul Hastings, and Natalie Runyon, who's the Director of Enterprise Content at Thomson Reuters. Welcome, Natalie and Kristen.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Yeah, same.
All right. So I'm going to ask a series of questions, and Natalie, we'll start with you for the first one. Tell us a little bit, in what ways can working remotely be more beneficial to collaboration than in-person working?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I would say three things. Number one, I think working remotely benefits collaboration because it increases perceptions of accessibility and participation in group settings, and also a sense of inclusion. If you think about it, everyone, when you have multiple people on participating in a virtual meeting, everyone's box on the screen is equal in size, right? And in fact, people have shared with me that they actually feel more comfortable contributing because of this versus the level of comfort that they feel when there's a meeting in person. And then finally, I would say, you know, in addition to on the point of it increases the perceptions of accessibility and participation, even the most senior person, their box is just randomly placed on the screen, right? In the grid, if you will. And so the most senior person's box can actually be at the very bottom. And so that is another way that people have shared with me that working remotely with a virtual meeting platform increases accessibility and participation.
Great. Excellent points. And Kristen?
Yeah, thanks, Natalie. That's really interesting. I have been thinking about this in terms of the ability to build diverse teams, primarily through physical location and geography. So I think there's the obvious improvement of a remote culture where you allow people from all over the globe to work together, but there's a practical element there as well. So, you know, you can take the classic in-person meeting of the pre-pandemic world. Most of the group would sit physically together and one or two people would be conferenced in on the phone line. You know, we all remember these meetings, but they would barely be part of the conversation. And I don't see that happening regularly again in a more remote culture. I think also what a more remote culture does is it improves access for those with difficult schedules. You know, for example, I'm a mom, I have two little kids, and I live over an hour away from my local office, but I can now quickly bring my kid to a nearby doctor appointment and be back at my house in time for a video call. And, you know, presuming not everyone else is in the office, I'm not missing much. I'm not missing the access to that call. So, and then I think lastly, another interesting thing is we've all gotten used to millennials being like a majority part of the workforce, or they're becoming a majority part of the workforce. Now we have to start thinking about Gen Z. They've grown up with modern technology and all of this comes more naturally to them. They're going to expect the use of IT tools and flexibility. So altogether, I see all of these things as beneficial to collaboration because we're improving our access to diverse talent. You can staff the teams regardless of the location and even open up availability in a way that wasn't possible before when an in-person presence was required.
Those are great points. So Chris, and we'll kick off with you on this one. What differences should we keep in mind between collaborating online versus in-person? And then how can we best keep individuals engaged?
It's another great question. You know, let's all admit it. I think the reality is that collaborating online feels more stilted and unnatural than in-person communication. And of course, there's the ever looming threat that you'll show up as a cat during an important hearing. So, you know, we get it. Those things are real. But to me, the lesson is that we need to adjust to new habits and ways of conducting meetings. And I think the key to all this is to be upfront and intentional. So as an example, I worked with one group of partners who set up rules at the start of a video call. Everyone was instructed to use the hand raise button and the moderator respected it, which is really key. They also experimented with like using precise language. They might say over and on to so-and-so in order, you know, to keep the discussion moving. And we were also intentional about teeing up the agenda ahead of time, which, you know, has the effect of engaging more introverted partners. This also proved to be very effective at quelling some of the longer-winded partners, and we all have those. Obviously, these dynamics existed before the pandemic, but I think we can use these new formats as an excuse to rethink and retrain people. I think it's okay to acknowledge that there are these limitations, right? It's easy to get lazy and distracted and disengaged. And unlike being in the physical room, you can multitask, right? Without seeming rude or simply disappear from view by turning off your camera. I had another instance of working with those same partners where I set up a training on how to engage and lead meetings. And despite that being the very topic of the meeting, after we asked people to engage with the exercises, about half of them dropped off. So what I've learned from that and what I would encourage group leaders is just to be realistic about all of these things. You know, I think you'll have to do things like break meetings into smaller chunks. You'll have to be a bit more structured in the meeting format. I think engagement is just going to feel less energized, maybe less personable, maybe less creative than an in-person format. But I would also say, you know, some of these things were an ancillary benefit and not the driving purpose of the meeting. And I think it's okay to forgo some of these in-person benefits for the pros of providing a remote workplace.
Thank you. Natalie, what are your thoughts on that?
I think I would underscore a couple of things that Kristen said and also add a couple of things. So we do know that everybody being remote or attending virtually is not likely to happen all the time, right? So there will be these instances where some people are gathered in the room and other people are attending remotely. And so I think when collaborating in with that environment, with some in the room and some virtually, establishing the norm that we're going to go to those attending virtually first by proactively inviting them to share their thoughts about a particular topic. And this falls on the responsibility mainly of the meeting leader or the person that organized it. At the same time, I think that, you know, to Kristen's point that where she had done the training for meeting leaders, as a meeting participant, I think each one of us is empowered to keep the rules of engagement, so to speak, for the meeting and to keep the meeting leader and everyone else to account. So for example, I think everyone should feel empowered to intervene if someone is talking too much or if someone is interrupted more than once by simply saying, oh, well, you know, my colleague didn't get a chance to finish her thought. I'd really love to hear what she has to say. So there's like little cues that you can, that each person can do in order to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to feel heard and contribute. I definitely agree with the raise the hand function and establishing that as a norm. So, and that's something that Kristen said. And then finally, I think, you know, one of the drawbacks about virtual meetings is that you don't have the benefit of seeing the nonverbal cues and like the whole body language. So I do think there needs to be more intentionality about being fully present and making sure that you minimize those distractions because the threat of multitasking is so pervasive when we're trying to be productive with our time.
Yes, certainly. And even when we know better, you know, we ourselves get distracted sometimes. So yeah, it's good to keep that in mind. All right. So what platforms have worked well for collaboration and how can setting expectations at the start of each call enable the best outcomes? We talked a little bit about, you know, using the hand raise function and things like that. What else have you seen, Natalie, that works really well with setting those expectations?
Yeah, so I can't say that I have one preference or another of a particular platform, although the ones that I use the most are Zoom and Microsoft Teams. But I would say, I would add a couple of different things. So number one, I think sending an agenda in advance makes a lot of sense. And so that helps bring some structure to the meeting. And it also sets the expectation of all the things that we want to cover or that the person who's leading the meeting wants to cover in a short for a meeting efficiency. I also think that for meetings where you're meeting with the same people consistently, you know, I suggest that that the meeting leader and that you bring in the whole team to brainstorm communication norms and really empower everyone to hold others to account. So it goes back to something that Kristen brought up in the second question. And so, you know, at the end of the meeting, the group can spend 30 seconds, for example, discussing how the team did in holding everyone accountable, you know, to the norms. So what are some examples of the norms? Number one, for example, everyone will have the opportunity to contribute to an agenda item. Another example might be we will defer to those attending virtually first, something that I mentioned in my answer to the last question. Another example could be if you want to contribute to a discussion, use your raise the hand function. So those can all be established and agreed upon. And with a quick, 30 seconds at the end to discuss how the team did and adhering to those communication norms.
Yeah, I really like that as a kind of a lessons learned at the end of each call to see how things went. Kristen, what are your thoughts on setting expectations at the start of each call and what platforms have worked well on collaboration?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad Natalie went first on this one because I'm struggling a bit. I am pretty much a novice when it comes to the various tech platforms, like even Teams is going to stretch it for me. So for me, I think what's really salient about this is just understanding what the goals are of the meeting and matching the platform to the goals. And sometimes a collaboration tool can even just be over email or over a quick phone call. And obviously we had these things pre-pandemic. And I think as a result now with this more remote culture, it's just about being more intentional about the mediums. I like all of the approaches and the expectations that Natalie shared. I think those are all great.
All right. So now the big question for everyone these days is, how do we build and encourage a culture of setting boundaries? And how do we build that culture when we're not office centric? Kristen, I'll let you go first.
Thanks. So from what I've seen, the research has shown that remote work is increasing productivity. And not only is increasing productivity, but it's also increasing satisfaction. So in my mind, what that means is we're working more and we're liking it. And I think this is because people crave autonomy and flexibility. And by dropping the time and the commute, they're willing to give some of that back to the company. Obviously, it's easy to do like too much of this. And we saw a lot of that at the beginning of the pandemic, right? Like there was a lot of burnout. But as a good news, I think as a result of the pandemic, creating boundaries has become more commonplace and acceptable. As I mentioned, I'm a mom and I'm out of pocket from 5:30 to 8 because I'm dealing with my kids. And I've really benefited from having managers who are respectful of that block of time and who more or less leave me alone. And as a leader of teams, I also really need to keep that in mind, right? And model that good dialogue and transparency. I think that's really critical. But in terms of office culture, I think it's just going to be a different kind of office. And we're just not going to be, culture is not going to be based in that physical space. I think our culture will be scattered and dynamic. Smaller cultures will emerge in this more organic way based on intentional interactions. I think it's a little bit ironic that in the years leading up to the pandemic, office spaces were constructed to encourage random interaction. You know what I mean, right? Like where you had the big open spaces, like glass walls, open workstations, some office buildings even have bathrooms in the center of the floor plan, all designed to encourage random interaction. But if you're anything like me, that's like not really the result I experienced. It sometimes put me on the defensive. Like, how can I avoid talking to these people? I don't want to talk to anyone, right? But then the pandemic hit and suddenly there's zero randomness. Even the people you may want to talk with, you have to go out of your way to do so. So it's been a complete 180. Drawing this all together, to me, this means that I think the workplace of the future will be a combination of intentional remote and in-person meetings, right? So to establish rapport, jumpstart an innovative project, or simply to work on team building, you're likely going to schedule meetups in person. But just to catch up with someone you already know well, you'll schedule a phone call. To meet on standard operations, we're going to continue this video call culture. I just think people will be a lot more thoughtful about their time and the purpose of the meeting and the way to communicate based on the agenda. And little subcultures will result around these intentional interactions.
Yeah, great points, especially on trying to avoid, all the random interactions. Sometimes you just want to go to the bathroom. Natalie, what have you seen on your end and what are your thoughts on kind of building a culture of setting boundaries?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that Kristen said, but I have come across, particularly from women, that if you are an individual contributor, they have had trouble in trying to set boundaries. For example, with a manager that expects them to respond to every email, or there's a perception that their manager expects them to respond to every email as soon as it's received. So I would like to offer a couple of suggestions in that instance. Number one, I think blocking time on your calendar when you're not available is absolutely critical. So when Kristen said that she's not available from 5:30 to 8 to take care of her children, like making sure that is blocked off on your calendar every single day. That's something that you can do to proactively set boundaries. Secondly, I would say have a conversation with your manager about the timeframes that don't work for you. If you have to pick up your children on every day, or if you need to take them to a doctor's appointment or go to a doctor's appointment yourself, you know, to be proactive and letting your manager know when you're going to be out of pocket, I think is another thing. Another tip that I've heard about is in your email signature, putting that you only respond to emails at certain hours of the day, something proactive that you can do. And if something is urgent, you can ask them to call or text you. So for example, when I put my out of office email, I say, if you need to respond to me urgently, please text me on my mobile phone number. And that way people can get in touch with me if they need to, but they have to take one more action versus sending an email. And I'm proactively saying that I'm not checking email. And then lastly, I would say model setting boundaries. So don't send emails at 11 p.m. So, or if someone is working at 11 p.m. because they needed to finish up their workday, you can actually schedule emails to be sent at 7:30 a.m., right? So taking advantage of some of those scheduling tools for email so that you can be a model for someone who is honoring other people's boundaries. And in terms of building culture when we're no longer in an office-centric workplace, I think the video platform experience is going to become pretty much the center of, you know, creating of evolving culture as well as carrying on culture. So I think we have to involve some fun in those settings on virtual meetings. And so, you know, and there's easy ways that you can do this. So for example, you can create moments of laughter and fun in team meetings by, you know, you can take a joint break at the same time, or you, as a break in the discussion, you could ask a get to know you better questions. For example, like if you had one superpower, which one would you pick? Another thing that can be done is encouraging movement meetings to increase endorphins. So are there certain meetings that are regularly on the calendar where you can be moving so that you as a way to stay engaged? So you're not sitting all day. I think it's also important for team meetings in particular to continue using video. I think normalizing check-ins is absolutely critical. So those supervisor to individual contributors, having those more regularly, making sure that those are on the calendar, intentionally, you know, proactively reaching out. And the other thing that I would say is, you know, avoiding hyper-focus on productivity. So the need for collaboration and creativity is only going to increase in importance in the next decade. And so, you know, productivity gains will increase and come from artificial intelligence and automation of repetitive and administrative tasks, and less from individual workers over the next decade. So I think this phenomenon will free up more time for knowledge workers to then focus on more higher level or higher creativity, you know, level work.
Yeah, and some of those relationship building things that really make us appreciate our coworkers and the culture that we're working in. Absolutely. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much to Natalie and to Kristen. I really appreciated your thoughts today. Thank you so much to the audience for tuning in to today's podcast. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.